Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1992 with a release date of Friday, January 1st, 2016. The following 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. New Jersey radio amateurs mark the 70th anniversary of a historic moon bounce transmission. In Wisconsin, a local hospital frees up space on its tower to accommodate a local ham club's new repeater. A British family reactivates a beloved old call sign. And as the holidays wind down, a few special events gear up. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1992 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin the first newscast of 2016 with our wishes for a happy new year and with some ways to get yourself in shape for the busy year ahead on the air. In fact, think of the first few days of 2016 as a good workout for all those radio-intensive months to come. During the first days of the new year, you can even give your microphone a break. The ARRL's annual Straight Key Night launches the contest calendar on New Year's Day, Friday, January 1st, and it's not really competitive, as there are no points, except for the most important point of all, which is to have fun. The Straight Key event segues immediately into the Ritty Roundup. And this roundup isn't limited solely to RTTY, however. If you're a fan of PSK31, ASCII, AMTOR, and Packet attended, jump in. The roundup runs from 1800 UTC Saturday, January 2nd through 2359 UTC Sunday, January 3rd, with operation on 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. Both paper and Cabrillo logs are accepted, but all are due by February 2nd. Contact the ARRL Contest branch for more information. That email is contest@ARRL.org. And by the way, if you want an alternative to the ARRL Straight Key event, try AMSAT's own event, which is dedicated to the memory of Ben Stevenson, W2BXA, who became a silent key in 2011. The only requirement in this non-competitive event is that you operate CW through any amateur satellite using a manual key on New Year's Day, January 1st. Stevenson, a top DXer in the ham radio community, was the founder of the North Jersey DX Association. And before you start thinking that the weekend's radio events are just for adults, think again. The younger set gets in on the action Sunday, January 3rd, during the ARRL's Kids Day. Hams are being encouraged to open their shacks to younger family members, the local scout troop, neighborhood youngsters, anyone really, who has a youthful curiosity about what it's like to hit that push-to-talk button or tap a code key. Visit the ARRL website to see operating recommendations and, of course, what the event exchange will be. A word of caution. Be sure you know your favorite color before you get on the air. That information is a vital part of the exchange. This event will be repeated in June, but why wait? The year is young, and so are all those potential hams waiting out there. And finally, ending this roundup of New Year's-related happenings, we report that a group of DXers in Ireland have called a planning meeting on Saturday, January 2nd to organize an EI DX group. The amateurs are hoping to discuss better ways to chase DXCC, but also make even bigger plans to get out there and do some serious de-expeditioning themselves. The group will meet at noon local time in the Maldron Hotel in Port Lease. For more information, Irish radio amateurs are encouraged to contact Dave, EI9FBB, or Pat, EI9HX. In Wisconsin, a bit of hospital equipment has just become ham equipment, too. Recognizing the important role amateur signals can play in local disasters, Ministry Eagle River Memorial Hospital has given space on its tower to a local club repeater. The Vilas County Amateur Radio Club, KD9DXK, has activated its repeater, making it ready for service in emergencies or to assist with community events. Mark Descalos, a spokesman for the hospital, told National Public Radio member station WXPR recently that bringing the ham radio club onto the tower was a decision that made good sense. Descalos said, quote, "Here in the Northwoods, we have difficulty with cell signals and probably equal wise with radio signals. It was an opportunity to use our tall antenna at the hospital to install a repeater," end quote. Club members will make use of the expanded signal to provide communication support for community events as well as community disasters. The tower space is being provided free to the club. Anyone who appreciates what older radio equipment can still do will appreciate the importance of a commemorative moon bounce event taking place this month in New Jersey. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, tells us the plan.
70 years ago, a team from the U.S. Army operating at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey's Project Diana site successfully copied radio signals that had been bounced from the moon using an Army tracking dish. That site is now part of the InfoAge Science History Museum, where on January 10th, the EME, or Earth-Moon-Earth Bounce, will be recreated, marking the date when the historic transmission both left its mark and its signal in 1946. In fact, the radio amateurs intend to use that same dish, which has long since been demilitarized and refurbished. The TLM-18 received those first historic signals during its time of active service on that site as a ground station for the Tiros 1 and 2 weather satellites and for Project Vanguard. The commemorative transmission will occur on 23 centimeters from the station of the Ocean Monmouth Amateur Radio Club, N2MO, sent by members of that club as well as hams from Princeton University and the Science Museum. The dish's primary role, as used by Daniel Marlowe, K2QM, is to help observe radio pulsars as well as radiation from the Milky Way. Marlowe teaches physics at Princeton University and serves on the board of InfoAge. The TLM-18 is being made available for the amateur's moon bounce on a secondary basis. Nevertheless, promising this group the moon and then delivering is going to be just as historic an event as it had been back in 1946. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Heather. Giving a boost to student and teacher literacy in wireless technology, the ARRL has selected 7 schools to receive grants from its Education and Technology Program for the academic year 2015-2016. The schools are Akron STEM High School, Akron, Ohio, Liberal Arts and Science Academy High School, Austin, Texas, Life Christian School, Aloha, Oregon, Rock Canyon High School, Highland Ranch, Colorado, Southport Elementary School, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Wink High School, Wink, Texas, and Yucaipa High School, Yucaipa, California. The application deadline for these grants, which are given annually, is November 1st. The grants encourage the use of amateur radio to explore radio science and electronics and focus on lessons in math, science, engineering, and technology through hands-on activities. So far, 579 schools have received support from the ARRL program, which comes in the form of research grants or equipment. Two special events that had been set for late 2015 are being rescheduled following their cancellations. The popular Iron Ham Contest, which was to have marked its fourth year, was dropped from the calendar after organizers noted how congested the bands already were with various competitions at year's end. The worldwide three-mode contest, inspired by the Sporting World event of the same name, is a 24-hour three-mode contest that has amateurs operating on SSB, CW, and RTTY. Adelano Ohms, PY5EG, one of the Brazilian amateurs involved in the organizing, said the 2016 contest would be announced at a later date. And Eris canceled its late December slow scan TV event aboard the International Space Station. The move was the result of what organizers called complications in planning. The good news is that the wait won't be quite as long for this event. Eris has said it is looking to reschedule the slow scan for mid-January 2016. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including radio station KSET-AM in Lumberton, Beaumont, Texas. We're heard Sunday mornings at 9:45 local time on Music Radio 1300. Everybody likes to take a break for the holidays, and the Wireless Institute of Australia is enjoying theirs now, but not before getting a lot of work done first. Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Although the WIA, Wireless Institute of Australia, is on its summer holiday break, the office reports that this brief slow season of respite was preceded by a very busy period. The WIA's Vice President, Fred Swainston, VK3DAC, reported that during a four-week period late in 2015, 73 certificates of proficiency were issued by the exam service, all of them requiring a new call sign. There were also 11 more certificates issued to amateurs who were returning to the hobby after a period of inactivity. While the WIA enjoys a brief bit of inactivity of its own for those remaining days, it's still very preoccupied with plans for the year ahead. The WIA will work, among other things, to streamline the tasks of its volunteer assessors. Holiday breaks, like the holiday season itself, don't last forever, though. The office and exam service reopen their doors January 11. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Thank you, Graham. The National Institute of Amateur Radio in India has had a busy calendar, one that included a major conference as well as a police department training session back-to-back. Attending the 2015 Applied Electromagnetics Conference in Assam, India, NIAR's Executive Vice Chairman and Director, S. Ram Mohan, VU2MYH, led a panel discussion on establishing communications during major disasters that knock out conventional means. Later, using the special call sign 8T5APS, he was joined by Jose Jacob, VU2JOS, in demonstrating how a ham radio station works. The conference, held at the Indian Institute of Technology, was attended by students and staff of the school as well as delegates throughout India. The NIAR hams also led an amateur radio awareness program for law enforcement officials at the Assam Police Radio Organization Training School in Guwahati, Assam, demonstrating HF as well as PACTOR communications. Operators and technicians who work for the police department are to be trained in various modes of radio communication, including Morse code. The Radio Society of Great Britain believes the growth of amateur radio in the UK is at risk as a result of insufficient primary allocations on the spectrum. Speaking in the UK Spectrum Usage and Demand Second Report released December 18th, the RSGB noted that without primary ham radio allocations between 400 MHz and 24 GHz in the UK, confidence, investment, and growth of ham radio is severely restricted. According to the RSGB, this creates a particularly difficult situation for Earth, Moon, Earth, narrowband terrestrial systems, and satellite transponders. The Society recommended adding to the spectrum to enable experimentation along with an expansion of digital voice. The Society would also like to see space for an extension of digital TV, new data modes, and higher data speed technologies. The forum is a sounding board on long-term spectrum issues for the government in the UK and for Ofcom. If you're planning to attend the Dayton Hamvention in May this year, don't just be an attendee. Be part of the awards ceremony by nominating candidates now. Organizers are looking to present awards for Amateur of the Year, Special Achievement, Technical Excellence, and Club of the Year. You have until February 1st to submit the names of deserving candidates, and all licensed amateurs are eligible. Forms and details about how candidates can qualify are available on the Dayton Hamvention website. Find the website at the bottom of this story on our Amateur Radio Newsline website, or send questions to awards@hamvention.org. Looking to DX, Rob, DL7VOA, is on the air from Vanuatu in the South Pacific until January 13th using the call YJ4AO, mainly during the local evening and night hours, QSL to his home call. Stefan, DF8HS, is active as DF8HS-P from Furman Island until January 11th, working SSB, RTTY, and PSK on 80 through 10 meters, QSL via his home call sign, via the Bureau, or direct. Harry, JG7PSJ, is operating as JD1BMH from Ogasawara until January 9th. He's active on all bands and using SSB, CW, and RTTY. Send QSLs to his home call. Bernhardt, DL2GAC, is preparing to work as H44MS on a DX vacation in Honiara, Guadalcanal, in the Solomon Islands between January 19th and April 14th. He'll be on 80 meters through 6 meters and possibly 160. He's working SSB only. Send QSLs to his home call or via the Bureau. Andrea, HB9DUR, is working as EX-HB9DUR from Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan until January 8th. He's working holiday style on all HF bands, but primarily the higher bands. QSL via his home call direct or via Club Logs OQRS. And we end this newscast and start the new year of 2016 by ringing out the old, but also ringing in the old. Doing just that this past Christmas meant the world to the Bird family of England. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has more.
Although radio waves are celebrated more for their ability to connect people in crisis or across continents, one family in England is celebrating radio's ability to connect people across generations with the help of a treasured call sign. The call sign G4ZU was assigned to DXer Gordon Dick Bird, a designer of HF antennas and author of many technical articles for publication. Dick became a silent key 10 years ago at the age of 86. Some years later, Pete Sipple, M0PSX, the husband of his granddaughter Sarah, was able to get Ofcom's permission to have the call sign transferred to him. It was the latest gesture in a long tradition of ham radio in the family, especially since Sarah Sipple, M6PSK, has been the holder of a foundation license for the past 4 years. But something special was in the air, or rather on the air, as the family gathered for this past Christmas. The grandfather's old call sign was reactivated for the first time since his death in 2005. And as the family gathered for the holiday, it launched something of a QSO party. Family members extended greetings to one another via radio, and even the late amateur's great-granddaughter, Catherine, aged 8, joined in. Sarah Sipple was quoted as saying afterwards in a local report, quote, "It's great that the historical G4ZU call sign is still active in memory of Dick's passion for amateur radio. 10 years after Dick Bird went silent key, G4ZU was once again on the air, connecting 3 generations of the family together using amateur radio. A nice Christmas present, and one for the Bird family scrapbook." Unquote. Best of all, it's a Christmas present no one will ever have to or want to exchange. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH, in Nottingham, in the UK.
Great story, Jeremy. Thank you. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, DX.net, Essex Ham, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Henry Ruminski, Dayton Hamvention, InfoAge Museum, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, Weather.com, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WXPR Radio, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 73. Happy New Year! And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights are reserved.